Okay. Welcome, welcome everyone to the Antiques Roadshow. Welcome to the second installation of this weekly shiur. On Monday nights, we're going to discuss inyanim from the parsha, more halacha topics that come out of our parsha. We'll try to be creative, read the psukim, and find different interesting topics that come out of it. This is the second such shiur, and there'll be more in the future. Just figured we'd start there. I'm sure everyone by now has heard there was an accident yesterday or last night, I think up in the country. So this year, the Torah learning tonight should be a zechus, focused towards the refuah shleima of Esther Mendel Bas Gittel Miriam and Moshe HaKohen Ben Miriam Rus Besuch Shar Cholei Yisrael. They should have a speedy refuah shleima, and it should be a long-lasting refuah shleima. In this week's parsha, we have a double parsha, parsha Matos and Maaseh. So we'll focus on one part of the first parsha, Matos. The psukim that start in source number one, the psukim that we brought over here. So if you look at the underlined pasuk, Chav Beis, V'nech B'shah Ha'aretz L'pnei Hashem, V'achar Yeshevu, V'achar Teishvu, sorry, V'yisim Nikiyem Me'Hashem Yisrael, V'ha'isa Ha'aretz Hazos Lachem Lachuzal L'pnei Hashem. That, just to give a little context, so B'nei Gad and B'nei Ruvain asked Moshe Rabbeinu if they didn't have to go into Eretz Yisrael, maybe they could stay on the other side of the Yarden, on the other side of the water, and not enter into the land. And they asked to do so, even though the rest of Bnei Yisrael were going into Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu at first objects to this. He thinks everyone should go together as a nation. But eventually Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, they persist, and they fight back. And Moshe Rabbeinu makes a deal that if Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven will fight with the rest of Bnei Yisrael, if they'll go into Eretz Yisrael, just to take up arms, to fight against the enemy and conquer the land, so after they've done that and done a significantly good enough job conquering the land, then they can return to where they want to live outside of Eretz Yisrael. And in that context, Moshe Rabbeinu says, after you've done this, after you've taken up arms, after you've fought with the rest of your nation, then v'yisim nikiyim me'Hashem v'Yisrael, then you will be considered clean, naki, nikiyim, lifnei Hashem v'Yisrael. You would be considered clean before our God and before the rest of Israel. So what does that word naki mean, clean? What does that mean in this context? So Art Scroll defines that as, you shall be vindicated. I think that's what Rav Shimshon HaFar Hirsch is driving at also, when he compares it to the pasuk in Sefer Bereishis, az tinaka me'alasi, that if you keep your promise, then you'll be totally clean, totally exempt. You'll fulfilled all the requirements, satisfied all the expectations. So that's what naki here means too. If you go in and you fight, so you'll satisfy all the expectations, all the requirements, both on the level of Hashem's requirement of you, as well as on the level of Bnei Yisrael's requirement of you. That's what the pasuk seems to mean at face value, but Chazal, in multiple places, we will talk about a few hopefully tonight, interpret this pasuk at a deeper level. They say this pasuk is a reference to the din, to the rule that we know of called Maris Ayin. Din that we usually refer to as Maris Ayin, we'll discuss much, much, much more in detail tonight, hopefully, and we'll still only be scratching the face of it, because it's a very large, broad topic. It's a big sugya, it's a big halacha, and it needs much more time and many more weeks to be discussed. We'll try to get to as much as we can. But this idea of Maris Ayin, so where does it come from? So if you look at source number two, we quote a Mishnah in Shkalim. Mishnah in Shkalim is found in Perek Gimel, Mishnah Beis. And in that Mishnah, it says as follows. There was a certain section of the Beis HaMikdash called the Lishka. And in the Lishka, people would donate money towards the Beis HaMikdash. There were three jars into which people would deposit money, sort of like a little room for tzedakah. And the tzedakah was focused towards the Beis HaMikdash. There's sheets, I think, right there. So this is the Lishka. So says the Mishnah in Shkalim, Gimel Beis, that someone who walks into the Lishka, either to donate or he's working there, so he can't wear any clothing that has cuffs or pockets or anything like that. Why not? So the Mishnah says there's a worry, there's a concern, that if someone walks in with cuffs or pockets, people will think that he's going in and he's pretending to donate money, but really he's walking out with money in his pockets. Even though he didn't do anything in particular to prove that he was doing any isser, to show that he was doing anything wrong, but we're worried that people will think that, we're worried that people will suspect him, will be suspicious, and so we say, the Mishnah invokes the pasuk, as you see here in the bold, second, third line from the bottom, V'yisam nikiyim me'Hashem u'mi'Yisrael. You have to maintain a stellar reputation, you have to stay clean, you have to be totally vindicated, totally pure, before Hashem and the Yisrael, that no one should think you did anything wrong, even if you're not doing anything wrong. That's the concept that we know of as Maris Ayin. That even when you're doing something totally mutter, something that there's nothing wrong with it whatsoever, but if someone sees you and might think that you're possibly doing something wrong, that falls into the concept of Maris Ayin, which is usur, and you have to stay away from doing actions that might lead people to think you're doing something wrong. Now, the Mishnah seems to quote a second pasuk here. It doesn't only quote our pasuk from Parsha. It also quotes a pasuk in Mishlei in Perek Gimel. The pasuk says, "Umsa chin v'seichel tov b'nei el kim v'adam," that you should find favor in the eyes of Hashem, as well as in the eyes of b'nei adam, of people. So the Mishnah seems to think that pasuk adds on to this din of Maris Ayin. You have to make sure that you're clean from Hashem. You also have to matza chin. You also have to find favor in the eyes of b'nei adam and satisfy the requirements not only of the Torah, but also that you should always look like you're doing the right thing and never look like you're doing the wrong thing. Why did we need a second pasuk? Why wasn't the first pasuk enough? So this question is asked by the Tosfos Yontif on that Mishnah in Shkalim. The Tosfos Yontif says that if I would have had only the pasuk of Vehi Yisim Nekiyim, of our pasuk in our parsha, that you should stay clean and not do anything that looks like it's wrong at all, so I would have thought that's an Eitz Tova, that's a good advice, that's like a nice thing that Hashem's telling us. By the way, it's in your best interest to try to keep a clean reputation, it'll be good for business. But says the Tosfos Yontif, now the Mishnah tacks on a second pasuk. It says there's also a pasuk in Mishlei, in Perek Gimel. The pasuk says, "Umsa chen v'seichel tov b'nei el kim v'adam." Not only is it an Eitzah Tova, good advice, a nice idea to try to stay clean and keep a good reputation, but it's a chiyuv, it's a chova, it's a mitzvah, possibly daraisa, because we have psukim over here on our hands. It's a mitzvah to do such a thing, and you have to keep this stellar reputation, keep this clean look to the rest of the people. That's a mitzvah and a chovah, and not just an Eitzah Tova, not just a piece of advice. In fact, the chovah might even go further. The Gemara in Brachos on Lamed Aleph and Beis, I believe it's here on the source sheet. Yes, in source number 2, quotes the psukim about Chana. Chana was davening in the Beis HaMikdash, and Eli HaKohen was watching her. Now, it's funny, because they weren't really davening back in that day. They did the avod in the Beis HaMikdash, but no one really said Shmona Esrei. So Chana was davening, and she looked funny, like a lot of us do when we're davening. So Eli was looking at her, and he figured, well, I never seen this before. She's probably drunk. That's what he thought. She's probably drunk. So Chana says, "Yain m'sheich lo shasisi. I didn't drink anything. I'm not drunk. I'm totally sober. I'm just davening." So says the Gemara, "Mikan, from here you see that someone who suspects you, mikan lenechsha bedavar, someone who's suspected by someone else, she'inbo, but he's not really doing anything wrong, shetzarch lo dio. That if someone suspects you, you have to tell them, you have to dispel that rumor, you have to challenge that accusation and say, no, I'm not doing anything wrong. In fact, I'm just davening Shmoneh Esrei, like Chana did." The Torah Tmima, in his Perish on Chumash, on this pasuk in Bamidbar, in Ha'arah Dalet, in the fourth footnote over there, so he quotes this Gemara and he says that you would have thought the whole din, the whole mitzvah, the whole idea of Maris Ayin, that you have to protect yourself from other people's observance, so that's a Eitzah Tova, that's just a good piece of advice. But not only that, it's a chova. And not only that, it's not just a chova to protect yourself from other people looking at you, but if you see someone looking at you the wrong way, you have to fight back, you have to dispel, you have to challenge that accusation. You have to defend your honor and defend your kavod and defend your reputation in the face of challenge. So it's not only a din that you have to avoid Maris Ayin, you have to avoid people suspecting you, but you also have to challenge if someone suspects you. You have to fight back and say, no, I'm doing the right thing, maintain that reputation. So that's the idea of Maris Ayin coming out of this Mishnah in Shkalim, coming out of our pasuk in the Torah of Yisim Nikiyim Me'ashem Umi Yisrael. How serious is this din? What do I mean, how serious? It's probably a din d'oraisa. Even if it's derabanan, it has a pasuk to back it up. So it's definitely an important din. It's an important mitzvah. So how serious is it? What do I mean? So is it yehar v'al yavor? Would you have to give up your life to avoid Maris Ayin, to avoid showing something that might look like you're possibly doing something usher, even though you're not? Sounds like a funny question. Everyone here knows the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph says that there are only three things in the entire Torah that you have to give up your life for. Avodah Zarah, worshipping idols, Gilui Arayos, illicit relations, and Shvichas Damim, murder, Ritzicha, right, killing. So does Maris Ayin fall into any of these three things? No, it's a random, separate issue, it's another mitzvah, nothing to do with any of those three categories of Yehar V'Yayavor. So why would you ever have to give up your life? Let's draw a scenario. Let's say I'm walking along the street, I'm very thirsty, and I'm passing a base of Avodah Zarah, a place where they worship idols. So outside of this nice base of Avodah Zarah, anyone here who's learning Gemara Avodah Zarah probably knows where I'm going with this. So you're walking past this nice base of Avodah Zarah, and you see there's a fountain outside. It's not just a regular water fountain, though. It's a big picture of an ox or, I don't know, a guy on a stick, whatever. So, and out of his mouth, this beautiful sculpture, out of his mouth is shooting water, a nice water fountain, nice, cool, refreshing water for you who are so thirsty and so desperate for a drink. So can you go ahead and drink from that water fountain? So that's not my case. In fact, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph brings up that case specifically. And the Gemara says it's absolutely forbidden. It's totally usher. You're not allowed to drink from that water fountain at any cost. So why not? So the Gemara says, "Nirek menashek l'Avodah Zarah." it looks like you're kissing the Avodah Zarah, because the water sprang out of the mouth and you're leaning in to drink from it. Everyone who's walking by is going to think this guy's kissing the Avodah Zarah, which is obviously something that's totally usher. Now, you're not doing anything wrong, but it's a Maris Ayin. It's showing, it's like pretending. People can see that are observing, they think that you're doing Avodah Zarah. That's already usher, that you already have to avoid. Says the Gemara, what's the Chiddush? I know Maris Ayin. Obviously, you can't do something that looks to the public like it's usher. So the Gemara says, the Chiddush is even b'makom sakana. Even where you're so thirsty that seemingly, it seems from the Gemara and Rashi over there in Avodah Zarah, that even in a case where you're so thirsty that you might die, there's a sakana, there's a danger, even in such a desperate scenario, you still can't drink from that water fountain because it looks like Avodah Zarah because of Maris Ayin. If we just had this Gemara, so it sounds like Maris Ayin on Avodah Zarah, if you're giving off the impression that you're doing Avodah Zarah, that's Yehara B'Yavor, you'd have to give up your life rather than drink from that water fountain. And in fact, the Gra, the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, in his parish on Shulchan Aruch, Bir HaGra, in Yerodeah, Simon Kufman, and Sikkut and Dalad, and if you take a look, the Achronim quote the Ksav Sofer and Shas Chuvus and Simon Pei Dalad in Yerodeah, both of them say that, in fact, that's the din. You have to give up your life before drinking from the water fountain, because Maris Ayin, giving off an impression that you're doing Avodah Zarah, is in fact Yehara V'Al-Yavor. But we'll try not to go that far. We'll quote something interesting, and maybe we'll save us from that halacha. In a certain sefer called Shailos Tshuvos Mima'amakim, the sefer was written by Rav Ephraim Oshri, who was a rav in Europe around the time of the war, and I think he was in the Kovno ghetto. And he wrote an amazing set of Shailos Tshuvos called Mima'amakim, From the Depths, which are tshuvos that regarding the Holocaust. Different shailas, gruesome, terrible shailas, sad shailas, but they excite the halachic mind, from the Holocaust. Different things that you would never want to conjure up in your mind. So he deals in this specific tshuva. It's the last tshuva in Chelek Aleph. It's Simen Lamed Aleph. I didn't read the whole sefer. That's not my bekiyas. I didn't know it. One of my rabbeim in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Ali Erman Shlita, so he showed me this Mar Makom. So in this Shailos Tshuvos Mima Makom, Rav Ashri deals with the following question. During the war, in order to save some of the Jewish children, so they would leave the children in churches. They would leave them popes with nuns in order to save them from the Nazis. And the popes would take them in, and they'd live in these churches, these children. And after a couple of years, really, they didn't know they were Jewish. They didn't know where they came from. There was no really way to save them, to get them out. Except that some of the Rabbanim knew they had to go into these churches to try to save the children, to try to take them out of the church. So the question was posed as follows. Let's say I'm a Rav, and I want to go into the church to save these children, but it's going to look on the outside to people like I'm going into an Avodah Zarah and worshiping Avodah Zarah and serving in the church. So am I really allowed to go in because of Pikuach Nefesh to save these Jewish children's lives? Am I allowed to do a Maris Ayin, something that looks like I'm going to do Avodah Zarah? Before we give the halachic answer, Rabbi Erman pointed out to me that there's a famous story with Aaron Cutler quoted in a couple of the biographies. One of them is Living Mishnas Aaron. It's quoted by his daughter, Rebson Schwartzman, I think was her name. And it's also in the biography written by Rav Yitzchak Dershowitz. That one you can find on Google Books. So the story goes as follows, that apparently Rav Aaron Cutler teamed up with a certain reform leader, infamous apparently, Dr. Stephen Wise. And he teamed up with him in order to work toward the Hatzalah effort, that they should save Jews from Europe that were stuck. So Rav Aaron Cutler received a lot of criticism for this. He got a lot of flack because he's teaming up with a reform rabbi. What's he doing teaming up with such a person in order to save the Jewish children? And Rav Aaron apparently said, or Cutler said, that he said it in Yiddish, but we'll try it in English. He said, in order to save the little fingernail of one Jewish child in Europe, I would bow down in front of the Pope. That's what he said. That story notwithstanding, the halacha seems from the Gemara that not that way. That even not to really bow down, but even to give off the impression you're bowing down would be usher, even to save a life. So Rav Ashri goes through a couple of parts of the sugya, and he quotes a Ramah. The Ramah is on the sheet. It's in Yerodeah Simen Kuf Nun Sif Gimel. In the Ramah says that in fact it's not Yehag Yavar. You do not have to give up your life. And if you were dying, you could drink from that water fountain, and you can do a Maris Ayin, and you can make it look like you're doing a Avodah Zarah when you're not, in order to save your life, in order to be spared, in order not to be killed. So how does that work with our Gemara and Avodah Zarah? The Gemara clearly said, even b'makom sakana, even when it's dangerous, you have to give up your life. So the Ran in Avodah Zarah over there, the Ramah is quoting, so the Ran says, nah, you got the Gemara wrong. The Gemara doesn't mean you're about to die. If you're about to die, you're mamish on the brink, you're about to collapse, you're so thirsty, you're starving, so then, of course you can drink, and that's what the Ramah is telling us. But if you're in a case where you're very thirsty, and it could be that if you keep going, so then eventually you're going to get sick and eventually you'll die, but right now you're okay. If you find water in 10 minutes, you'll be okay also. So in that case, says the Gemara, that's a makom sakana, that's somewhat of a danger. In that case, you can't do a maris ayin. But if you're really going to die, if you're going to die on the spot right here, right now, of course it's mutter. You don't have to give up your life to avoid a maris ayin. So maris ayin is a din, maybe daraisa, it's a very serious din, but it's not necessarily a harga yavor, and Rav Ashri ends, in fact, dramatically, and says that he went into many churches and saved many children from the Holocaust that were left in these churches, because he thought that was in fact the halacha. Even if it's not Yehar Gayavar in its regular state, we have to realize there are certain cases where Maris Ayin is compounded and becomes a more significant, more dramatic Isser. The Rambam at the end of his at the end of Parak Hey, the fifth parak of his Yesod HaTorah, source number 4 on the sheet over here. I don't know why I did it like that. I thought it'd be cool and it looks ridiculous. But the Rambam spells out for us that there are certain people that can cause a chilul Hashem, which is the worst of error you could do in the entire Torah, just by a problem in Maris Ayin. He says, if you're an Adam Gadol Meforsim B'Chasidus, if you're a Talmud Chacham, someone important, someone who represents Torah, and you act in a way that's totally mutter, you're doing everything correctly, but you don't go above and beyond. You don't act lifnim Mishur Zadin. You don't take that extra step, acting nicely with everyone you know and acting nicely in public. So in that case, you're Mechal El Shem Shemayim. You made a chilul Hashem. And in fact, that's Yehar V'Ayavor. You'd have to give up your life to avoid that. And so says the Rambam, if you're a Talmud Chacham, if you're a person of such stature, make sure that even things that are above and beyond the din, even that are things that are Maris Ayin, you have to avoid making any sort of chilul Hashem in public whatsoever. They say about the Chavetz Chaim, his son, we weren't zochet to a full biography of the Chavetz Chaim, but his son wrote partially, before he passed away, wrote partially a biography of the Chavetz Chaim. In there, he quotes that the Chavetz Chaim at the end of his life, so he was hard of hearing, hard of seeing, he was very sick, so he couldn't really sit with a sefer, he couldn't really learn a book all day long, he couldn't learn Gemara in front of everyone. So he was said, it was pasnish that a Talmud Chacham like him, a tzaddik like him, should be sitting there in a room with nothing in front of him. Everyone will see, it'll be a big chilul Hashem. So apparently the Chavetz Chaim told someone every day to open up a chumash in front of him, to get a random page or whatever the parsha was, I guess. And he said, just leave it in front of me so at least it looks like I'm learning to people who walk in and I don't cause a chilul Hashem. We might think, this halacha is shaykh to the Chavetz Chaim, it's shaykh to a Talmud Chacham, it's not shaykh, speak on behalf of myself, it's not shaykh to me, someone who doesn't represent Torah in any way. But the Chavetz Chaim himself says in many places, it's quoted in the biography, it's also quoted in the Sefer Chavetz Chaim, that Talmud Chacham doesn't, for this din, mean that you're the biggest, smartest genius in the world. It just means someone who represents Torah, someone who goes to shul every day, someone who learns a little bit, someone who's kovei itim, someone who spends time accessing the depths of Torah, so that person represents Torah on a certain level. And we have to watch the way we act in public, even though we're not the real, true Talmud Chacham, because chas v'shalom we should cause such a big chilul Hashem. So we've discussed the pasuk of Yehisim Nekiyim. We said that's the source for Maris Ayin, that you can't do anything that would even look like you're doing an Isser, even if you're doing something that's not actually Usser. We said, is that a serious din? Yeah, it's a serious din, probably Daraisa, but probably not Yehar Ve'yavor, unless you're in a case of Chilul Hashem, where you're representing Torah to the public, and you go out and do something that looks wrong, so that we have to avoid, that we have to avoid at all costs. Now, we have to ask the most fundamental question of them all right now. We have this din of Maris Ayin, this idea that you can't act in public in a way that even gives off the slightest impression that you've done an Isser. Why? Why can't you do that? Where does that come from? What's the reason behind that din, behind that iser? So it starts in a Gemara in Krisis. The Gemara in Krisis on Chaf Aleph on Beis, it's here in source number 5, says, we know that fish blood, okay, no one saw that coming, huh? So we saw that fish, we know that fish blood is mutter to drink. You're not allowed to drink the blood of an animal, of a behema, but dam dagim, fish blood, you're allowed to drink. So says the Gemara, you're allowed to drink it, but don't put it all into a cup at once and drink it in public, because it looks from the outside a clear cup. It just looks like you're drinking blood. They might think you're drinking exactly dam behema. They might think you're drinking animal blood, which is usser, which is prohibited. So says the Gemara, don't drink this in public, the fish blood, because you don't want to give off the impression that you're doing something usser, doing something that's prohibited. Rashi explains why. That's Maris Ayin, right? Why? Why is it usser? Rashi tells us why Maris Ayin is usser. Here in source number 5 on the left side, Demichlif b'dam behema v'haroa omer mutter lechol dam. The person who sees, the observer, he's going to see this and he's going to say, oh, this guy, Jonah, oh, I mean, like, I usually trust his kashrus and he's drinking blood. So I think that's behema blood, that's animal blood, and must be animal blood is mutter, and he himself is going to go ahead and drink animal blood now and do the isser. So Maris Ayin is usser, according to Rashi, because when someone sees me doing something that even looks usser, he will then go ahead and do that isser. It's usser for me to do now, because I may cause someone to do the real isser in the future. The Chavetz Chaim, we're going to do a lot of Chavetz Chaim tonight probably, the Chavetz Chaim in Hilchos Lashon Hara in Klal Ches Simin Sif Yud Dalet, so he says it's obvious that you shouldn't go around talking Lashon Hara in your house. You shouldn't speak Dvar Magunim, disgusting things, you shouldn't say anything wrong, because people in your house hear, they hear what you're saying, they pick up on it, and they're going to start talking Lashon Hara, they're going to start doing the wrong thing. It's a very important chinuch note. We don't need a source for it, but we'll quote the Reishis Chachma. The Reishis Chachma, in his little kuntres on chinuch, Shar Gidul Habanim, so he says that you obviously can't talk like this in your household because your children hear everything, they pick up on everything, and that's not the only problem. Because in 2 weeks, when your child's talking Lashon Hara, your child's using inappropriate language, what are you going to say to him? You say, you can't talk like that, but like Abba, but Ima, Daddy, Mommy, Pops, whatever. I saw you talking like that just last week. How can you tell me it's us? Or they're going to have a taina. They're going to have a reason to say, of course I could talk like that, you talk like that. So says the Rishis Chachma and says basic logic, don't talk like that in your house because it's terrible for a chinuch. But the Achronim, the super commentaries on the Chavetz Chaim, point out that the Chavetz Chaim even earlier, in Klal Dalet and Sif Yud, so he says something even more amazing. Let's say you have a son who he's hanging out with the wrong crowd. So you want to tell him, don't hang out with the wrong crowd anymore. This guy, he's Ochel Nevelos Utrefos, or whatever, or he steals the pens from the teacher. So he's doing something wrong, so you shouldn't really hang out with him. So that's not Usr, that's not Lashon Hara, that's Lito Elis. There's a benefit in saying that. You're teaching your son not to hang out with the wrong people. So the Chavetz Chaim says, even though it's totally mutter to talk like that to your child, to tell him that Lashon Hara in order to save him from having those friends, so even though that's totally mutter, you should tell your child, look, usually it's Usr to talk like this. Usually this is Lashon Hara, but this is for a benefit. This is mutter because of the following reason. Why? It's mutter. Just tell him. Just tell him stop hanging out with the people. So the Ali Be'er, which is one of these commentaries, he explains, V'yisim nikiyah me'ashem mi'yisrael. It's totally mutter what you're saying, but your son doesn't know that. And he's going to see you talking Lashon Hara this week, and it's totally mutter. He doesn't know it's mutter. He's going to think, oh, Lashon Hara. Okay, Lashon Hara is always mutter. I didn't know it's only because he was trying to save me from a bad group of friends. V'yisim nikiyah me'ashem mi'yisrael, the Isser of Maris Ayin says, no. Even if you're doing something that's totally mutter, explain it to people. Make sure they know that it's mutter. Make sure they know the context. This way, you don't lead them to do any sin. You don't lead them to do anything that's totally usser, totally prohibited. So now we have this din of Maris Ayin, and we have the reason behind it, that you shouldn't cause other people to see you and sin themselves.
Hey, gentlemen, can I ask, is there a different standard for Maris Ayin for different people?
Instance, yeah. So that's the Rambam we quoted. The bigger a person you are, the higher standard we hold you to. So even something that would look totally, totally, totally mutter and not even a speck of anything, but a person that big, a person who's a Talmid Chacham, he has to go above and beyond the law, while the rest of us really just have to keep the basics. It definitely does change with your stature. Okay, so now we've discussed Maris Ayin, we've discussed the reason behind it, so we have to discuss another aspect of Maris Ayin, which is extremely important in and of itself. The whole issue of Maris Ayin is that we shouldn't cause people to sin, right? We shouldn't let people see us, think we're doing something that they think is mutter now, and they'll do it when really it's usser later in life. So once we understand that way, so we run into an issue. There's a din called Maris Ayin Bechadre Chadarim. Chadre Chadarim means a cheder is a room. So Chadre Chadarim is a room within a room, that even if you're in the most private place in the world, there's still an issue of Maris Ayin. Says the Gemara in a few places, we quoted a few of them on the sheet, Shabbos Samach Dalan Beis, Shabbos Kuf Mem Vavam Beis, Avod Zari Yad Beis Manalf, Beis Tetes Manalf. So in all those places, the Gemara says, Kol Makom here, it's Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Kol Makom She'asur Chacham Mipnei Maris Ayin, any place where there's an Isser of Maris Ayin, any place where you're not allowed to do something that would cause someone else to see you and think you're doing something that's mutter for them, which was really Asser, Afilu B'chadre Chadarim Asser. Even to do that, in the most private of places, is totally Asser. What do you mean? So if I'm walking by a statue outside, I can't drink from the water fountain because it looks like I'm doing a Avodah Zarah. That makes sense. Everyone's going to see. But you tell me if I'm sitting in my room and I have that statue in my room and I want to take a drink out of it, no one's going to see. It's not going to look like I'm kissing a Avodah Zarah to anybody. I'm in my room. First of all, nowadays, everyone sees everything. That's the first point. Second of all, is that the Gemara says, even if no one would see anything, it's still totally Usser. It's still Maris Ayin. What's pshat? How could that possibly be? How could it be Usser if no one sees you? If the whole issue is Maris Ayin, Ayin meaning I, that people will see you doing this action.
Doesn't that contradict the Gemara priests by drinking fish blood?
No, so why?
Because if you didn't...
Could you repeat the question?
He said he... Well, I'll repeat it when I understand it. How's that, yeah?
Why does it not contradict the Gemara discusses by drinking fish blood? If you're afraid that somebody else may come to see, may see you and think that you're drinking animal blood... So that would mean even Mechadri Chadarmo would not be allowed to drink fish blood, but we know that it's mother to drink.
So I think we're going to get there. I'm not even going to repeat it because I think we're going to get there. And if we don't, we'll talk about it after, but fish blood might be different than other things. Okay, so where were we? Chadri Chadarm, that even the most private of places is still usher to do something that it would even look on the outsider... That will even look like you're doing something that's usser. So we asked, what does that mean? It's you're in the most private places, no one can see you. It's not Maris Ayin by definition. So there are at least two answers that with which I'm familiar. There's a third, I don't understand that at all, so we'll quote two. The Ran in Beis on Daf Tes over there, so the Ran says two suggestions. He says maybe it's a gezerah, the whole thing's a takana, the whole thing's a decree to impede you, to keep you from coming to real Maaseh Sayin. What do you mean? So if I'm standing in the room alone, so I can't drink from my Avodah Zarah water fountain. Why not? So the Ran says maybe one of two things. Either you're going to go, eventually you're going to get so used to drinking out of the water fountain that's made of Avodah Zarah, that you're going to go outside and do the same thing. Then you have real Maaseh Sayin. So it's a gezerah, it's a decree to avoid going outside and doing this Isser in public. Says the Ran, maybe the opposite is true. Maybe you're alone in your room now, but maybe someone will walk in and someone will see you then. So it's a gezerah, it's a decree that you shouldn't have Maaseh Sayin in your room. Okay, easy to understand. We know Dinim Darabanan, they're supposed to protect us from over Yisurim Daraisa. So this is just another example of that. The Mishnah Berurah suggests something different. The Mishnah Berurah is an Or Chaim, obviously. Simin Shin Aleph, Sifkan Kuf Samechei, it's a long Simin. So the Mishnah Berurah says it's a low plug Darabanan. Low plug, they don't distinguish. They make one rule and it carries all the way through. We'll give a mashal to understand low plug. But low plug would take a whole other shear probably to understand. But it would also take a whole other shear for me to understand. I don't know anything about it. But I will give one mashal. Let's say a mother tells a child, you can't cross the street. So the child says, okay, why not? Well, whatever, you can't cross the street because I said so. The difference being that, let's say the kid's standing at the corner and he wants to cross the street and there's no cars coming whatsoever. So is the mother going to let him cross the street? No. She doesn't want him to get used to crossing the street. She doesn't want him to go across the street when there's cars coming. So she never lets him cross the street even when there's no car coming. Let's say it's a small street and the kid thinks it's quiet. No one's ever here. Still, the mother says, no, you can never cross the street. Low plug. She doesn't distinguish. She doesn't say, this street is mutter, this street is usher. You're never allowed to cross the street until you're older. In my case, 17. So that's what our Mishnah Berurah says. This is a low plug. You're not allowed to do Maaseh Sayin, even when you're in your room in Chadrei Chadarim, totally alone, totally concealed from the eye of anyone else. Now, according to either explanation, we should come up with some kula, some leniencies, some special exemptions in case of Chadrei Chadarim. It should be a little more mekel. What do I mean? The Gemara in Ksuvos on Samech Amaral says the following case. Let's say you're standing on Shabbos in your room, and you have pipes, and the pipes are a little bit stuffed by some weeds, by some plants. So you want to stomp privately in your house, you want to stomp on these plants, you know, kick them, whatever, to clear the pipes so that the drain can flow freely. So are you allowed to do so? So the Gemara says, normally that's an Isser Derabanan of Misakin Mana, you're not allowed to fix that pipe. But in this case, we'll allow it because it's only Derabanan, and it's a Makom where you're going to lose money, so you might as well be allowed to clear the pipes. So ask all the Rishonim, Tosis over there, Tosis in a bunch of other places, isn't this Maaseh Sayin? Even if you're doing something mutter, even if you're doing something totally mutter, but it looks usser, it looks like you're doing Masakin Mane, it looks like you're doing this Isser Derabanan. So some Rishonim, I won't say who because I'm, whatever, some Rishonim say that that in fact the reason is because there's no such thing as Maaseh Sayin on Dinin Derabanan. That Maaseh Sayin only applies to things that are Daraisa. You can't give off the impression you're doing an Isser Daraisa. But to give off the impression that you're doing a din derabanan, an iser derabanan, not so bad, that's allowed. Sounds crazy, but the Ramah quotes it in Shulchan Aruch. In Yerodeh, in Simen Pei Zayin, in Siv Gimel, so the Ramah quotes the following din. Do we put on the sheet? Does anyone know? Yeah, number 7. Source number 7. So let's say you're dealing with the following case. Let's say I have milk and meat. Can I eat them together? Wow, great participation. So no, I can't. I can't eat them together, obviously. Let's say I have milk and meat and almond milk, parv. Almond milk is totally parv. Am I allowed to eat those together? So, actually not. And the reason is, it is totally mutter. It's not basar b'chalav. That's 100% true. But it's Maaseh Sayin, right? It looks to the common observer like you're eating meat and milk together. On an Isser D'oraisa, basar b'chalav, that's in this week's parsha also, and Maaseh later. So it's totally asr. You're not allowed to do that because of Maaseh Sayin. You're giving off the impression that you're eating milk and meat together. Now, what about the following case? Can I eat chicken and almond milk together? Why? Oh, so chicken and milk, says the Gemara in a couple of places, chicken and milk is only an Isser Derabanan. The Isser Derabanan is to eat real meat, real fleishiks with milk. Isser Derabanan, you're also not allowed to have chicken with milk. So says the Ramah, Maris Ayin is only true on an Isser Derabanan. You're not allowed to give off the impression that you're doing an Isser Derabanan. But if you're eating chicken and milk anyways, which is only an Isser Derabanan, then there's not going to be any issue of Maaseh Sayin. Then you will be totally allowed to eat the almond milk and the chicken together to your heart's content. Now, the other Achronim don't agree to this. The Shach and the Taz right there, they disagree vehemently, I would say. They have a Gemara in Shabbos and in Dalet, which is clear and explicit, not like that, as well as other Rayos, other proofs to go against the Ramah. But it starts in the Rishonim. The Rishonim seem not to say that. Our Tosas that we were just talking about in Ksubas on Daf Samech, Tosfos and Shabbos on Kuf Mem Vav and Beis, and the Rush over there in Shabbos as well, all say that it's totally usher to do Maris Ayin on a Din Darabanan. You can't, there's no distinction. Din Daraisa, Din Darabanan, Maris Ayin is usher. The Pasuk says, V'yisim Nikiyim, you have to be totally clean, totally vindicated on all Dinim, Daraisa or Darabanan, no difference. But the difference is, Bechadri Chadarim, say these Rishonim. All of the aforementioned Rishonim say that even though Maris Ayin is usher on a Din Darabanan, you can't give off the impression that you're doing an Isser Darabanan. You can, bechadri chadarim, in the total privacy of your own home, in total secrecy, in that case, you can violate an isser, you cannot violate, sorry, you could give off the impression secretly that you're violating an isser derabanan. That would be mutter. And in fact, that's how they explain our Gemara. You're standing in your home, and your pipe is totally clogged, so you want to clean it out. So it's only an isser derabanan. No one's looking anyways. You're in chadri chadarim, you're in your room closed off. So then you could do the isser derabanan, even though it looks like you're doing an isser derabanan, you could do it in that case, because it's Maris Ayin, Bechadri Chadarim, in the most private of places, on an Isser Derabanan. Okay, so now we've discussed the Isser Maris Ayin. It comes from our Pasuk, V'yizim Nikiyim. We have another Pasuk, Umtzachin, V'seichel Tov, B'nei Elokim V'adam. That was the Mishnah in Shkalim. Then we discussed how serious of an Isser it is. Probably a Din D'Oraisa, even if it's not, it has some Sukkim, so we'll assume it's pretty serious. Is it Yehari V'Yavor? Maybe, probably not. We decided that you could save those kids from the churches and some other dinim along the way. We discussed also the issue that Maris Ayin is actually because you're going to cause other people to sin. That if you do this mutter thing, people will think it's everything's mutter, and they'll do Isurim later in their life. And then we also discussed that Bechadri Chadarim, even in the own privacy of your own home, the most closed off and the quiet scenario, it's still totally usher to do anything that would give off the impression that you're doing any Isurim, unless it's an Isur Derabanan, then maybe it's mutter. Did we flip the page yet? Okay, I think we did. So that's where we're holding right now. Now, perhaps we could offer a different understanding of Maris Ayin. Perhaps we could offer a more fundamental explanation of why it's usher to do something that even gives off the impression that you're doing something usher, when in fact you're not doing anything usher at all. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos here in source number 8, it's in Perek Bey's Mishnah Aleph, I guess. Rebbe Omer, Ezu derech yishar sheyivor lo ha'adam. What derech, what way should a person travel on? How should a person behave? How should he act? He should act in a way that causes splendor, that brings pride, that brings glory to the person who is doing those actions, meaning the person himself, as well as Libnei Adam, other people who are witnessing this. Now, what does this Mishnah mean? So more than one person actually say this, but we quoted the Maharal over here, L'chvod, my father-in-law. The Maharal in his Derech Chaim, which is a parish on Pirkei Avos, says the following. He says, there are some things that you do. There are some things that some ways that you act that are totally mutter. You're doing something that's totally minadin, totally allowed, totally okay. But to other people, it looks like you're doing something that's a little passnish for you to do that. It's a little bit usser, it's a little bit wrong. There's some scenarios where you're doing something that's totally okay, but other people think it's usser. Sounds like our case of Maris Ayin. Now, why is it usser? So listen to this Maharal. Ritzoni Lomar, this is what I mean by this. Sha'adam ha'roe megane oso al-kach. Why is Maris Ayin usser? Not because the guy's going to go ahead and do an isser later in life. Rather, megane oso al-kach. The observer who sees you is going to end up, making fun of you, saying you're doing something wrong. Just the fact that you're ruining your reputation. Even though it's okay for him himself to do this, rakshesh chashad, important word, there's a suspicion, there's a shemetz of chashad min haroa, al yivor derech zeh. If there's any case where you're doing something that's totally mutter, totally okay, but there's even a thought, there's even in the back of your mind that your reputation might be sacrificed, might be at risk, so in that case, you can't do that action. You can't act in that way. Nothing about causing other people to sin. Even if the people who saw you would never go ahead and sin in their lives, but just to sacrifice your reputation, just to give in on your good name, that's already usher. That's already a din of Maris Ayin. Quote the following story. There's a famous story of the Chafetz Chaim. Again, Chafetz Chaim said he was once on a train, and he was traveling home to Radin. So someone on the train didn't know who he was. So he asked him, where are you going, sir? So the Chafetz Chaim responded, I'm going to Radin. I'm going home to Radin where I live. So the guy said, you want to ride him? Do you know the Chafetz Chaim? So the Chafetz Chaim said, yeah, in fact, I do know him. He didn't. He was an anav. He didn't want to show that he was the Chafetz Chaim. So he said, yeah, I do know him. So he said, tell me about him. How amazing is he? He's not so great. He's not so great. So then the guy said, no, come on. I heard he's such a tzaddik. He doesn't talk any Lashon Hara. He talks Lashon Hara. Does he give a ton of tzedakah? Nah, there's no tzedakah there. He's a faker. He's ripping on the Chafetz Chaim. And this guy, after a while, says, how could you talk this way about the Chafetz Chaim? He's a tzaddik hador. He's the biggest Talmud Chacham we know. You're a terrible person. You're mevazel tamid chamin. And he stormed off the train. So said the Chafetz Chaim that at that moment he realized there's an Isser Lashon Hara even on yourself. Even to talk Lashon Hara on yourself is totally usher. Now the Rav didn't like that story. Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't like that story. It's quoted by my Rebbe Rav Shechter Shlita in his Sefer Nefesh HaRav on page Kuf Nun. He says the Rav didn't like that story because it's obviously usher to talk Lashon Hara about yourself. It has nothing to do with Lashon Hara. Forget about talking slanderously about other people. Forget about all of that. That's all on the side. V'yisim nikiyim me'Hashem Yisrael. Right? Maris ayin. You're making it look like you're ruining your reputation. You think you own yourself. You think you're the Chavetz Chaim. You think you can decide what your reputation should be like. No. The Torah says v'yisim nikiyim. You have to keep a clean reputation. Even if it's not Lashon Hara. Even if no one knows. But to ruin your reputation, to sacrifice your good name in any way whatsoever, totally usur. Totally not allowed. And that seems like our second definition of Maris Ayin. It's not the idea of causing people to sin. It's nothing to do with that. The issue of Maris Ayin is that you're causing yourself a bad name. You're taking away your good reputation. That's usur. And in fact, if we reconsider our first Maror Malkum, the Mishnah Shkalim, in the third parak, so now we have a better understanding. The Mishnah Shkalim said you can't enter into the Trumas Alishka. You can't enter into the place where they put the donations wearing pockets or wearing cuffs. Why not? We said because they're going to suspect you of stealing, that you're putting coins in your pockets, even though you're not doing it. It's usher because of v'hiyisim nikiyim me'Hashem Yisrael. So do we really think that Mishnah means that people are going to go ahead and think stealing is mutter? No, no one's going to think stealing is mutter. But just the fact, the very nature of the fact that people are going to see you doing something and think you're doing something usher, even if they won't ever do it, but that ruined reputation, that sacrifice of your good name, you sacrificing your keser shem tov, so that's usur inherently. That's maris ayin. That's giving up your reputation. That's usur. That's what the Rav was talking about. That's what we're talking about now. That's totally usur. That's the new definition that we have of maris ayin. In fact, maybe there's a case in the Torah of this. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's talking to Paro, he's telling him that Makas Bechoros is to come at midnight. So he should say, it's going to be Bachatzos HaLaila. It's going to be exactly at midnight. Bachatzos HaLaila. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say, in fact? Kachatzos HaLaila. It's going to be about midnight. Hang out, you'll see. So what does that mean? It's not going to be 12:01. It's not going to be 11:59. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to get it right. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to get it right. They know exactly what the time is. So Rashi explains that it's not a problem that Moshe's not worried that Hashem's going to get it wrong. Moshe's not worried that he's going to get it wrong. Moshe's worrying that Paro's going to get it wrong. He might not have an atomic watch, so he's going to be thinking it's 12:01 when really it's actually 12 o'clock. It's actually midnight. And when Makas Bechoros comes, it's going to look to Paro as if Moshe was wrong. Now, was Moshe really wrong? No. Does it have anything to do with Paro going ahead and sinning in the future? No, nothing to do with that. But etzem the fact, by very nature of the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu's reputation is sacrificed, that Hashem's reputation is on the line. So v'hiyisim nikiyim me'Hashem Yisrael. You have to keep your reputation clean at all costs. And says Moshe Rabbeinu, kachatzos halayla, don't take my word for it, but around midnight the Makkah is going to come so as to keep his reputation clean, so as not to sacrifice his reputation in any way whatsoever. Now, just we have to note, so we're assuming that people are going to judge you. We're assuming people are going to think you're doing Yisurim and sacrifice your reputation. Obviously, it's usher to judge people. Obviously, it's usher to assume people are doing Yisurim. The pasuk says, "Tzedek tishpot amitecha." You have to judge people favorably. Obviously, the opposite is usher. You're not allowed to suspect people of doing anything wrong. That issue, that mitzvah, does not always apply. It's probably mitzvah d'oraisa, but it doesn't always apply. There are scenarios where you are allowed to judge people. That's a lengthy sugya in itself. We need another Monday night, maybe a Tuesday night. But that's not for now. But what you should know, suffice it to say that if you look at the Gemara in Shabbos, in Perek Mithanin, Kuchav Zayin, so it tells a couple of stories where it clearly does apply, and they're very scary, and they're very difficult stories to understand. You have to know to exercise dan lekaf zechus, to judge people favorably, and never think they're doing anything wrong. Furthermore, this is just an interesting Maror Malkum, one of the Dirshu Sfarim quoted this, in the Sefer Yesodu Shorosh HaAvoda, which is a Musar Sefer, an earlier Musar Sefer, in Shaar Rishon Perek Zayin, so he says that Tzedek Tishma Mitecha, that you should judge people favorably, is a mitzvah that you can't, not only you can be Mekayim regularly, but you could even be Mekayim in the bathroom. So that seems like a funny, who cares? Well, the reason we care is because you can't learn Torah in the bathroom, you can't even think about Torah in the bathroom. There's a lot of mitzvahs you can't do in the bathroom. You can't take a lulav, you can't put on tefillin, you can't put on tallis, you can't do all those things, but you can probably put on tallis, but you can't make brachas, you can't do all those things. So says the Sotah Shor Shavuot, there's at least one thing you could do. You could think about people in your head and say, oh, that guy's a good guy. Bam, mitzvah d'oraisa. Because they're like, oh, that guy probably didn't do anything wrong. He probably did something good. Bam, mitzvah d'oraisa. Even in the bathroom, even when you're in the dirtiest of places, you can keep that mitzvah d'oraisa. So again, it is a mitzvah to judge people favorably. It's an isser to judge people not favorably. And even though that's true, we're assuming that people will do that to you. And so you have to protect your reputation from that judgment. You have to keep yourself clean. Now that we're saying you have to keep your reputation clean, you have to worry about what people think. Okay, that's great. Now, mi efchad, I think I wrote on the under number 8, number 9, mi efchad, from who do you have to be concerned? With whom do you have to be concerned? Do you have to worry that everyone's going to judge you unfavorably? Meaning, I understand I shouldn't let a rabbi see me doing something that even looks a little bit wrong. That makes sense to me. Even my friends, they shouldn't see me doing anything a little bit wrong. That makes sense to me. What about like a drunk guy in a bar? I don't know. What about Russia? What about a guy who's a total late, a total scornful person, a total joker? So do I care what he thinks? Sticks and stones, right? It doesn't really matter to me. So actually says the Chassam Sofer in his Chuvas and Vav Nun Tes over here. So he says, no, you have to actually protect yourself even from that. He says, Kol Yamai Yisim Etzdar El HaMikra Hazeh. My whole life I worried about this pasuk, about Maris Ayin, about protecting your reputation. You know why? It's so hard. It's so much easier to be Naki Mi Hashem than it is Mi Yisrael, because as he says in the next underline, Ajitobo Elu Shose Shechar, Vasau Minaginosam, Harihu Kvar Nilkad Bimitsudasam. You could try your hardest. You could try to keep all the rules and keep your reputation spick and span and you know, what are the cross all the T's, dot all the I's, whatever you do. But at the end of the day, these drunk people, these Rishayim, these people who are looking to be negative nitpickers, these Yentas, so they're going to find something wrong with you, and they're going to talk about it. And so no matter what you do, you'll never keep yourself clean of this mitzvah, Maris Ayin. So it seems the Chassam Sofer thinks that even in a case where it's a total terrible person, if he's judging you the wrong way, that's still within Maris Ayin. You have to keep yourself clean even from that, a pretty high standard. So luckily, the Sefer HaChassidim argues, this is in the source number 9 on the left side, Sefer HaChassidim is Simon Taf Reish Chaf Vav. The Sefer Chassidim says, "Below me, Kol Yisrael, you don't have to keep your reputation clean from all of the Jews, not from everyone. Rather, from who? Yinaka adam atzmo min ha-ma'aminim, below me, she'ain ma'aminim. You have to keep yourself clean, keep your reputation spick and span from people who matter, from people whose opinion is good, from people who are like, they're believers, they're good people, they want to judge you properly. Those people protect your reputation from, and not the people who are, you know, the negative people anyways." In the words of every famous rapper, haters gonna hate, right? Anyone who's looking to hate, anyone who's looking to dislike you, anyone who's looking to judge you, they'll find room to do it. You don't have to worry about them. Just worry about the people who matter. Worry about the people who are normal. And those people avoid any chashad, any suspicion, act in a pristine manner. In fact, this idea is brought to halacha and Shulchan Aruch and Yerodeah, Simon Reish, and Zayin. It's in Sif Beis. So the Shulchan Aruch says that a gabai tzedakah, someone who's a good gabai, who's not mistrusted, so such a person doesn't have to prove to everyone, we don't have to check after him to see if he's doing Yisurim, we trust him that he's taking care of the money. Says the Ramah, it's still a good idea that he should keep a cheshbon, he should keep an accounting and show it to the other people in the shul, show them that he's not doing anything wrong, he's not stealing any funds, not laundering, not doing anything inappropriate. So that's what the Ramah says. So the question is, to whom does he have to show this? Does he have to show every yenta in the shul? Does he have to show the president who he trusts? The president just walked out, I didn't have to say that. So who does he have to show? So the Aruch HaShulchan, in the same siman, in Sif Yud Gimel, so Aruch HaShulchan says, obviously you don't have to show the yenta in the last row in the shul. You have to show the president. You have to show the rabbi. You have to show the people who we trust. Those people you have to save yourself from chashad. Those people you have to keep a clean reputation. Those people you have to watch your v'hiyisam nikiyam me'ashem Yisrael, and nobody who's worse than that. So Rav Moshe took this a little bit further. Rav Moshe Feinstein, in his Chuvos and Ikaros Moshe, in Chelek Aleph, and Siman Sadivav, it's here in source number 10. So Rav Moshe was challenged on the following problem. Apparently, Rav Moshe, his wife would light candles on Friday, Erev Shabbos. This is a famous story. And he would then get a ride to the yeshiva to daven Minchan Marv. So his wife had already lit candles. And then people come and see him driving in a car. So says one person writes to him, Pasnish, the Rosh Yeshiva, should be driving in a car after candles were lit? How could that be? It's already Shabbos, or at least it looks like it's already Shabbos. So says Rav Moshe, first of all, that's total amratzis. We know that a woman accepts Shabbos when she lights candles. A man has 20 minutes, 18 plus 2, left until he has to stop doing malacha. He can do malacha gemurah. He could light a fire. He could do whatever he wants for the next 18, 20 minutes. So I'm not doing anything wrong when I go in the car. And not only that, not even Maris Ayin. Where'd you get that from? Maris Ayin only applies when someone sees you doing something that makes sense. It's logical that they would think you're doing something usser. If you're doing something that totally mutter, looks totally mutter, you're just an idiot. Right? And you think it's usser. So in that case, there's no Maris Ayin. There's nothing wrong with that. You're not doing anything that gives off a bad impression. This guy, Nebuch, he's an Amaretz. He doesn't know what he's looking at. In that case, there's no Isser of Maris Ayin. You have to protect yourself from people who know what they're talking about at least a little bit. But if they're totally coming from an ignorant place, they know nothing at all whatsoever. So in such a case, there's no Maris Ayin. And says Rav Moshe, I'm not doing anything wrong. And yet, you see the Anava of Rav Moshe. The Makom Gadluso, you see Anvas Nuso. Because Rav Moshe says, and even though this is true and you're totally, totally, totally wrong, B'li Neder, Emir Tashem, I'm going to stop going in a car in Arab Shabbos after candlelighting. I'll never go to yeshiva like that again. I'm going to go earlier. And it's just because I know that you even think it's Maris Ayin, that's too much for me. And out of my respect for you, I'm going to avoid doing that. Unbelievable, unbelievable, Anava, unbelievable modesty. Perhaps this sheds light maybe on the following story. Apparently one person once came to the Alexander Rebbe, and he said, Rebbe, I was at a party, I was whatever, in a bar, whatever you want to call it, and I didn't do anything wrong, but everyone thinks I did something wrong, some avera. So they're all choshed me, they all suspect me, they all think I'm doing something wrong. So said the Alexander Rebbe, do you have an alibi? Do you have a way to prove that you didn't do anything wrong? So the guy says, no, I don't have a way to prove I did anything wrong. All I can say is the Gemara says in Shabbos on Kuf Yud Ches, paraphrase, Asher Misha Choshtin Osov Einbo. Praised be the one who they suspect him, but he didn't really do anything wrong. It's a good thing it's a zechus. So says the Alexander Rebbe, you're right about that Gemara, but better off you should be Asher Yoshve Beisecha and stay away from the bars than be Asher Misha Choshtin Osov. Because if you stay out of those scenarios, if you keep yourself away from those situations, then you're doing what you can to protect your reputation. That's way better than saying, oh, they're already choshing me, they're already suspecting me. Try to stay away from the whole situation altogether. That's what we're saying here, is that you have a chiv to avoid, you have a chiv to stay away, but if it's so ridiculous, if it's so preposterous, you can't avoid the drunk people, you can't avoid the rishayim, so in that case, we're not holding you accountable for Maris Ayin, we're not holding you accountable to keep your reputation clean. Now, Maris Ayin is a real din, probably the Raisa, not Yahar Be'yavor, right? All those things are true. We talked about Chadir Chadarim, we talked about the issue of doing Maris Ayin, even in the most quiet of rooms, even the most secretive places, that's totally usher still, except maybe on a din derabbanan. Why is Maris Ayin Aser? So we mentioned originally that maybe it's causing other people to sin. That's Rashi increased on Chaf Alvon Beis. But then we mentioned maybe the real reason is what we just said, something more fundamental. You have to keep your reputation clean. That's an inherent din that you have to keep your reputation clean, spick and span, a pristine name. So with all of this background, maybe we can come and answer the famous questions. Guy's driving down the highway. It's whatever, nature calls, right? So he knows the din in Shulchan Aruch in Simon Gimel. So he says, I know that Bata Shaktu, I'm not allowed to hold it in, I have to go to the bathroom. So I see a nice, clean McDonald's on the way. So can I go in and go to the bathroom? Everyone's going to think I'm getting a cheeseburger. So Nebuch with my tzitzis out, my amkan. So can I go in and use the bathroom? The other example, when I went out to eat recently, I went to Wolf and Lamb. So let's say you're in an office in business and the partners invite you out to go to eat a pig and shrimp. So another nice, fine restaurant. So it's totally non-kosher, Nevelos and Trefos. So can you go with your partners to eat there? Or is it Maris Ayin? You're not going to eat anything. You're going to the bathroom, or you're going to a business meeting. You're going to drink water, or you're going to use the bathroom. Maybe you'll say an Asher Yatzer. But either way, you're not going to do anything Usser in there, but it looks like you're going into a place that's Usser. Is that Maris Ayin? Is that this problem of V'hiyisam Nikiyam Hashem Yisrael? You have to protect your reputation. So we do have a Ramah, the Ramah that we talked about before in Yerodea said that Yisurim Derabbanan don't have an issue of Maris Ayin. Now, first of all, we don't really hold like that Ramah. The Shach, the Taz, and all those Rishonim argued on it. Second of all, there's the common Yisurim Daraisa. So many things you could do wrong when you're in a restaurant owned by non-Jews with serving treif and the velos. So many things you could do wrong on a level of Daraisa, Basar V'chalav, and many more things. So seemingly the Ramah is no avenue to explore. But what about the following? The Mishnah in Klaim, it's on the sheet, in Tes Beis. The Mishnah says that there are certain materials, we know there's an Isser of Shatnez in the Torah, you can't mix wool and linen and wear them together. So there are certain materials that aren't wool, aren't linen, they're mesh. That's what he said, they're mesh. But they look a little bit like wool or linen. They kind of seem like it. So are they usher in shatnez? So the answer is obviously not. But says the Mishnah, they're still usher to wear because of Maris Ayin. Because people will see it and think it's wool and linen, and therefore assume you're wearing shatnez, and that'll ruin your reputation or cause them to wear shatnez in the future. That's what the Mishnah says. Says the Rush on that Mishnah over there in Klayim, that was true back then when they didn't have mesh. Now everyone knows what mesh is. Everyone knows it's not wool. Everyone knows it's not linen. So if you wear a mesh beged, it's no longer Maris Ayin. The metzias has changed. The circumstances are different. And no one's going to judge you. No one's going to think that you're wearing shatnez. No one's going to think you're wearing kalayim, mixing wool and linen, because we know what mesh is. We've seen it all before. That's an important din. We'll start. When I was in NCS Bacholel 3 summers ago, 2012, sort of Sabalowski gave shiur on Basar V'chalav. So he quoted that that there's an issue with drinking parv creamer after a meal, a fleshik meal, or eating parv ice cream after a fleshik meal, so is that okay, or is that Maris Ayin? So Seder Sabalowski, it might have been a problem however many years ago when they first introduced these innovations, but now everyone knows it's parv ice cream. Everyone knows it's non-dairy creamer. Everyone knows these things. The Metzias has changed, like the Rush said. Everyone knows it's mesh. No one thinks it's shatnez. And in such a case, Seder Sabalowski, he said the Vadei HaShulchan was machmir, but Rav Sabalowski, also Rav Avadji, and his Chuvas Nechav Adas, and Chela Gimel, Simon, and Vav, so he also is Mekel, and they say that since there's no real concern that anyone's going to think you're drinking real milk right now, everyone knows it's synthetic, everyone knows it's non-dairy, so there's no issue whatsoever. That's like our Rush. If the Metzias changed and everyone knows there's no issue of Maris Ayin, no one's judging you, everyone knows. So maybe one could argue, again, I'm not a posik, so we're going to have to ask a question no matter what, but a guy gets off of his car and, you know, waddles into McDonald's wearing his tzitzis flying out and his yarmulke on, so no one thinks he's going to get a cheeseburger. Everyone knows what's going on over there. And a guy sitting at the corner of the table, you know, with like a little bit awkwardly while the other guys are like chomping down shrimp and pig, whatever we called it before, And he's sitting there with his yarmulke, drinking water, eating cut fruit, if that's okay, maybe not. So if he's doing that, so no one's going to think he's eating nevelos and trefles. No one's going to think he's doing nisurim at all. Everyone knows we go to business meetings in non-kosher restaurants. Maybe it would be mutter. Now, there are other scenarios to consider. And again, I'm not opposed to it. You have to ask a rav. First of all, I don't know if anything that I said is true, so that's one problem. Second of all is that every restaurant is different, and every city is different, and every place is different. You don't know what people are thinking. You have to know from a rav whether it's a totally valid heter or not. Second of all, there's a difference between a treif restaurant, totally non-kosher, and something that has a bad hashgacha. If it's had a bad hashgacha, people might actually think you're eating there. That would be a totally separate issue, and again, you'd have to consult a rav about these things. So just to review, we talked about the Isser of Maris Ayin, which comes off the pasuk of Yehisim Nikiyim, Yashem, Yisrael, and Arar Parshim, Barashat Matos. We discussed that it's an Isser Daraisa, it's probably not Yehagah Yavor, and you should still stay away from it, especially if you're someone who represents Torah. You should never go off the impression you're doing anything wrong. Why? So we offer two possible reasons. We said either it's because you're going to cause people to sin in the future, they're going to think what you're doing is mutter, and they're going to do it themselves later. Or because, no, there's an etzem din, there's an inherent idea that you have to protect your reputation, keep yourself clean, make sure everyone thinks you're a good Jew, make sure everyone thinks you're law-abiding, and that trumps everything, and that's the Isser of Maris Ayin. We also said that b'chadr chadarim, even in the most private of places, you still have to observe this din, you still can't do anything that would even look suspicious to the outside observer, for whatever reason, either because we think people might come in, you might go out, or it's a low plug, we don't change the rules, you don't distinguish. Any of those reasons is still usser. We discussed who you need to protect your reputation from. Anyone? So the Chassam Sofer thought anyone, but Rav Moshe and others thought people who are normal, people who aren't ridiculous haters or amaratzim, ignorant people. The Ramah probably seconded this according to the Aruch HaShulchan, that you don't have to try your hardest to jump through hoops to satisfy everyone. You can never satisfy everyone, only the people who are at least trying to judge you favorably, those people you have to watch out for. And then we ended with this last shaila in Halacha. Can you go into this bathroom on highway, whatever, or can you go to a business meeting in a non-kosher restaurant? We offered one reason to make it, like the dairy ice cream, that everyone knows you're not the non-dairy ice cream. Everyone knows you're not going in there to do any surim. Maybe that's a reason to add on to make it mutter. Maybe not. We'd have to ask a rav.